Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Healing Circle. It's a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself who come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for today's show, we are going to be talking about the topics of persistence and patience. And we do have one caller on the line already, which is wonderful. We'll invite him in to the circle. First, I want to introduce Kat Edwards. And Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
That's nice to hear. I resonate with that.
It's a beautiful winter's day here in Brisbane.
Well, we have a beautiful summer's day here in New York State, and I'm grateful for that. But winter is lovely, too, as long as it's not deluging you with 10 feet of snow.
Climate change would really be smashing us up if we had 10 feet of snow here in Brisbane, I can tell you that. We're subtropical, so it's a warm winter. It's always a warm winter.
Well, that's nice. I appreciate it when we get a mild winter, but this past winter was not the case for us. At any rate, our caller is named David also, and he also lives in the Northeast, and we're going to invite him into the circle in a while. As I mentioned, the topics tonight are patience and persistence. And Kat, what would you like to say about the topics?
Well, when you mentioned the topics to me, one of the things that ran through my head was grade 10, and a guy who was in my class called Glenn Ham, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but I went up to the front and I was impatient about getting something, and he spun around to me and he said, "Hang on, patience is a virtue, don't you know?" And it never left me. You know, they talk about peer pressure and your peers putting values into your head sometimes, and that one did. That one stuck with me. And from then on, I thought, yeah, okay, well, I'm going to practice this patience thing and I'm going to just relax about life a little bit. And so I have, and I've found that in being patient, I am relaxing, I am allowing things to flow, and I'm letting other people who think they're far more important than me because they've got far more interesting lives and they're far more everything to go first. And that's absolutely fine by me because I don't need to be the hustle bustle person at the front. I can be chilled out, I can be relaxed and let it unfold as it should. Sometimes, though, I have to say, I've learned the lesson of being too patient and then people just push in front of you. And so you have to stand your ground and hold your balance when waiting for things to happen. But you can relax. Otherwise, you bring anxiety into things. And so I think that patience is about relaxing and letting things unfold. And in that respect, it is a virtue because you're allowing the process. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I related to just about everything that you said. And you took me on a journey that I wasn't prepared to take, and that was going back to high school. I was not the most patient person at that stage of the game. And I think a lot of that was tied into insecurities and wanting to prove myself to the world, to my parents, grandparents, that kind of thing. In fact, I kind of thought that I needed to achieve in order to earn love. And that was kind of a misplaced notion. But it's just what it felt like at the time. And I was thinking about how, as an actor in high school, I wanted that starring role. And I kept getting these character roles, and I was very impatient about it. And I think that there is, I do believe that we attract what we put out to the universe, and that when we're impatient, those things that we're hoping to achieve or have come to us elude us. And I finally gave up this notion of a starring role. I thought it was never going to happen. And then, lo and behold, in my senior year, I did get a starring role. And it was a great role. And I ended up being voted as class actor. Patience was indeed a virtue, and it paid off in the end. But I found that, like you were saying, that it is it's a process. It's a matter of just allowing things to happen in their own time without worrying, without comparing yourself to other people. And I think it has a lot to do with being present to the moment and just allowing God's gifts to flow freely and to go with the flow. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's it. It's really going with the flow. I mean, as I said, you need to have a balance so you don't end up missing out because you've been a bit too patient and you've not seen the signs to move forward. So you've got to keep your eye on the ball. That's the other thing when you're being patient.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I know in my personal life, biding my time by being patient has really paid off, especially when I've been waiting for somebody to fall on their sword. I'm not Robinson Crusoe here. We all have complicated relationships as we go through adult life. And some people are not particularly nice people, and you have to deal with them. And I have found that by standing in my truth and being a little bit artful in the way that I step through the challenges so that I remained honest, however I had just maneuvered things a little bit so that the light would shine on what I could see the other person was like when others couldn't, I would then bide my time and wait for them to fall on their sword. And I think that we, you know, give them enough rope and they'll hang themselves. That there is, you've got to exercise patience. You've got to sit back and watch the show. And it can be difficult, especially when you really want to dive in there and mix things up to wait another time. I mean, you just got to think about cooking. You've got to be patient. You've got to wait for that process to happen so that you can eat. It's patience is about sitting back and waiting for everything that's in the cauldron to cook up. And then you can get in there. I won't go into the intricacies of it so we don't get grossed out, but there's a time in giving birth where you must stop and you must wait till the nurse says, okay, push. And that's, you have to be patient because you really want to keep pushing. So it's like anything where you're waiting and wanting and you want to go forward. There's time to go forward and there's a time to wait. And you need to do it. You need to do it. And people who don't do it end up time and time again falling flat or finding themselves in drama. And so you've got to be that person who sits there sometimes and rests.
Well, as usual, you've stimulated a lot of ideas for me. You talk
I
about...
stimulate you so much, David.
Yes.
You tell
yes,
me every week.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, well, you do. You do. And I'm I think it's because we resonate with each other. And we know each other fairly well after several
yes.
years of you guesting on my show and developing an online friendship. So that's been a beautiful thing. But, you know, I like what you were saying about standing in your truth, because I think that we actually can lead through the power of example, and that it takes a lot of patience in order to do that, because we may just want to get out there and prove ourselves to the world, and it's not really about proving ourselves. It's about allowing ourselves to walk life's path and to open ourselves to whatever experience comes our way. When you were talking about waiting for the person to fall on their sword, I was certainly thinking about karma, but I was also thinking about how in the course of human events and relationships, there is a time and place to be quiet and patient and just allow the other person their space and to take it for yourself and to detach from what could become drama. And that's been a very important lesson for me. I've had 3 significant relationships, and in 2 of them, there was not a lot of drama. The 3rd one, there has been a fair amount, and I say that with all due respect to the other person. It's just that I thought that I had become a very patient person. I thought that I had overcome the hurdles connected to patience or to impatience. And God threw me a curveball in this relationship because I discovered that I still had a lot of lessons left to learn. And so for me, it's had to do with detaching. I can put forward my truth, and if it can't be received or if there's any argument, I need to let go. And so I think that's another aspect of patience that has been important for me, and it comes back to that concept of letting go, and that's one example of it. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. The letting go is the big thing. Is you know, you just got to relax. You've got to chill out a bit. Anyone who lives in a hot country knows how to do that. You need to be in a space where you can just sort of say, oh, well, let's just wait. And the elders will teach you that. And if you don't have any elders around you, they'll watch shows where there's elders in there speaking. And I'm talking about Indigenous elders. Because they will often say, just wait. You know, they've lived a few decades. And they know that you can't always achieve everything all the time. And in today's society of credit cards, you know, it's unheard of for people to be so patient. They want it now. They want everything now. You can have instantaneous everything. I mean, you can even have an instant movie now. 10 years ago, you used to have to go down to Blockbuster or Video Easy and hire a movie or go and buy one, bring it back, stick it in my DVD player and watch it, and then take it out, make sure I looked after the DVD, you know, stuck it back in the case and put it in the bookshelf. Nowadays, I can just go onto a website, click on a movie I want, and instantly it streams there. So we've created a society where we don't have to be patient. So it can be difficult if you've grown up, you know, if you've been born in the 90s or the noughties or even in this decade where there was less and less reason in general life to be patient. You've now got to learn how to be patient, and the best thing you can do is listen to your elders. I've just looked up the dictionary for patience. Can I read that out?
Please do.
It's a noun, as we know. The quality of being patient as the bearing of provocations, annoyance, misfortune, or pain without complaint, loss of temper, irritation, or the like. 2, the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. 3, quiet, steady perseverance, even-tempered care and diligence. 4, cards, like solitaire, that's the name of the game, solitaire, patience. 5, also called patience deck, a European dock, buckwheat, of the buckwheat family, so there's a vegetable. And 6, they've got obsolete leave, permission, sufferance.
Wow.
So really, where we've gone with patients, I guess, is in their first, second, and third ideas of patients, where we've been patient as the bearing of a provocation or annoyance and misfortune. I certainly, when I was talking about waiting for someone to go fall on their sword, that was exercising that quality of patience. Ability and willingness to suppress restlessness and annoyance when confronted with delay. How many of us have been standing in a queue?
Right.
Yeah. And quiet, steady perseverance, even tempered care with diligence to work with patients. Anyone who works with the infirmed, children, animals, technology, especially if you're not very adept at technology and you've got to deal with it.
We've all been in
situations at work where I've got to be patient.
Well, Kat, I'd like to bring our caller on the line. And then there's one more thing I wanted to share, and that's 2 of your from your definition. And then if there's something else you'd like to share, I'd like to give you the opportunity to do that. And then we'll move on to persistence. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me.
All right, David, unmute your microphone. I'm coming to you. This is David, who also is known as Dace. And Dace is a tarot reader. He's very talented. He's been on my Friday night show several times. And he's also clairvoyant. And Dace, David, you're live. What would you like to say about patience?
Hi, Dave. Hi, Kat.
Hi there.
Hi.
Okay, hang on a second.
Sure. Take your time.
Okay.
I'm learning.
Okay, yeah, so hi, everyone. Welcome from Massachusetts. I know Kat knew I was in the Northeast, but she wasn't sure where. So we're talking about patience, right? And then you said you're going to move on to persistence?
Yes.
Okay. Well, see, what interested me in calling in was, as soon as I seen the patience and persistence, I instantly seen that they were both synonymous. You know, you can't really do one without the other. I mean, it's practically impossible. And I know when Kat was talking about, you know, some of the euphemisms that people use, like patience is a virtue, I remember one that came up when I was driving a truck. So I'm kind of in some way uniquely qualified, I think, to talk about this, and I'll say why though. So what we used to say was, you know, don't race up to a light, because, you know, you could injure yourself, you could hurt someone else, being impulsive, which happens a lot of the time when you're not patient, you know, shooting from the hip. But what you got to think about is, you know, you'll be first next time. So that was one of the euphemisms that we used to use. And also, I think that there's something that's real important that people need to look at. And I see this a lot in tarot card readings, is that when people have a reading, sometimes it can be scary. You know, sometimes you have to have sometimes you have to face situations that could take courage. And this happens a lot, for example, disciplining a child, you know, stuff like that. So, and also in the I use John Holland's psychic tarot, and there's a card called Patience. and it talks about basically how all the little things like standing in line at the supermarket or, you know, being stuck in the traffic, in traffic and things like that are all just really facets, you know, just little vignettes of the bigger picture. So, you know, and like Kat said, you know, you really got to keep your eye on the ball. And you can't do it without patience, and you can't have persistence without patience, because to me, it's more like it kind of evolving with the situation. And I think Kat, I know that she used a term called basically they're going to fall on their sword sooner or later. So, I mean, in a way, I understand that, because I also see that a lot in the cards, that people who don't wait and look at, and this is coming from years and years of, like, reading the cards, because one of the positions sometimes will tell you how the person will react to the situation that they're currently in. It'll actually tell you how they're going to respond. And almost always, when somebody jumps the gun and they don't have patience, they can just completely strangle what could be a good situation. They can just completely cut it off and just turn it upside down and make it bad. So that's a little bit about the patience stuff for me. And I also want to mention that when I was truck driving, this is another thing that we used to say too, and it got me through a lot of weeks, sometimes months. And we used to say, you know, just you do one drop at a time. That's all you got to think about. All you got to think about is the next drop. So, you know, sometimes you can look at your sheet at the beginning of the week and you have like 30 drops. And sometimes they're hundreds of miles apart. And so it gets pretty crazy. But I know, and again, it's like keeping your eye on the prize, you know, and thinking about what you're going to get out of it, you know, in the end. Not what it is that you're not getting or what it is that you can't do, but what you're going to get out of it at the end. For me, it was getting to go back home. So, but the reason why I say that is because I would find myself, and I think a lot of long haul truck drivers did too, that you go through different emotions. You know, like one day you're really happy, and then like 3 hours later you're agitated, you know, and then 2 hours later, it just changes. And I think it's some of the things that people don't want to, you know, do when facing a situation. A lot of time they're really putting the kind of exit stage left, you know. But, and one last thing, and then I'll be done. I think patience is important because, for example, let's say if you're in a restaurant, or you're in Walmart or wherever, even a public event, and you look at the people who are not patient and how they treat other people, you know. And to me, I always go back and I try to reflect on myself. How would I do it in that situation? You know, how would I handle it? So I think having patience is a really good opportunity to almost always reflect upon ourselves, the kind of the state of mind we're at. And a lot of the time, it's really unrash, you know. And it may not even be reality, the situation that you're seeing. So that's how I feel about that. And I wrote some notes here, but I think I covered a lot of them. And that's what I think anyway. Kat, Dave, back to you.
David, thank you very much. I heard a lot of wisdom in your share. Kat, any thoughts that you have that you want to share?
Yeah, I loved what you shared, and I love how you connected it back to the tarot and also back to the work that you've done as a truck driver. I had a partner, my first significant partner, who was also a truck driver. So I can, and then we went around Australia together. So I, in the truck, so I understand a lot of what you're talking about. But I also really loved how you said how when you're in a queue or you're somewhere where there's a lot of people, it always reflects on your character, the way that you treat others when you're feeling impatient or patient. And that brings me back to something that I said at the beginning of the show, which is I tend to sit back and let other people who think they're far more important than me bustle and push and carry on to the front of the line or wherever they're going, because they're out of their state. They're not in a centered state. They've forgotten who they are, and they feel that they have to, for some reason, be there. Now, they could be needing to because of a genuine reason, or they could just be needing to do that because they've forgotten who they are, and they've turned into a bit of an a-hole for whatever reason. But that's what happens. You know, if you're not in a state of patience and you don't have a genuine reason, you just turn into an abhorrent being. So it is important to relax. Yeah.
Well, David, I really like your reflective sharing and the way you talked about looking at other people. I've said it before. I had this demented person, elderly person, who I took care of at one point. And the one thing that she would repeat over and over, she repeated a lot of things, but this struck a real chord for me, and that was that she said, "One never stops learning." And I've come to see that there's so much I can learn if I'm patient and set my ego aside and allow myself to observe. And you can I almost think of it as a form of meditation. I also love what you said about how patience and persistence are flip sides of the same coin. And I was going to just reflect on Katz number two on the definition of patience. And that to me ties into the birthing process that I have been engaged in for many years on this book that I've written. And there's been a lot of frustration along the way, and then I've had to let that go over and over. And the beautiful thing is now I'm looking at a possible TV series, and I'm changing that from possible to I see it happening. I see it done, and I recognize there was a reason it's taken so long, because I've written 22 books. So I have a whole entire television series, many seasons of it, put together now, and I'm glad that I've been patient. I see things unfolding, and it has taken a lot of persistence to get here, let me tell you that. Unless either of you have anything else you want to share on patience, why don't we move into persistence?
Yes.
Sounds good.
Go ahead, Kat.
Persistence, for my own life, has been the key. Without persistence, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere, and I still have somewhere to go. No matter what the circumstances, and I've been under some pretty difficult ones, but there's always people who are better off and worse off than you. So I'm not discounting somebody who's been under worse circumstances than me, but I've been under pretty difficult circumstances in my life, and I've had to really push through, and I've had a lot of time when I could have given up. And there was one day I had very difficult boys, and they were difficult for a few reasons I couldn't help, and they had ADHD was one of them, and autism was another, and then a person in their lives behind my back was abusing them, which I didn't know about, and I was taking them to a lot of different people with degrees who said there's something wrong, but we don't know what. And until they were old enough to say, I couldn't do anything. But in the meantime, I couldn't work. I wanted to work. I wanted to work as an employee, and I wanted to work for myself. I didn't care which way. I just needed to get out and have a life beyond dealing with these difficult boys and be a person. And I couldn't. I wanted to, and I tried, and I persisted. And at times it was extremely difficult, and there were plenty of people who told me how wrong I was, how stupid I was, how unorganized I was, everything under the sun. You know, I was the bad person because I wasn't out there doing it all. And I couldn't. I had this difficult circumstance, and I developed depression out of that circumstance, and I developed times when I was having nervous breakdowns, and then I had a massive burnout, and then I fell into another one, and then another. But I didn't stop looking for the light in my life, and the light in my life was my boys being happy, me being happy, and following my path, the one that I truly wanted for myself. And I knew in the end, if I continued to follow that path, no matter how little the breadcrumb was on the day towards it, I would still be giving them a good example. And so I persisted in following my path, and I got qualifications, and I persisted in following my path, and I thought every day about love. Even at times when things were so difficult, and I felt that I couldn't see love around me, I chose to go to bed thinking about how much I loved my sons and how much I loved the little things. And I saw the basic good. And that there got me through. And then I got to the other side of the first big burnout, and I started to get opportunities. And I started to pull myself through, and the boys got a bit older. We found out the truth. We started to do something about that. We were in a lot of debt because we had to pay for people who could help us to help them. But again, persistence was the key to get out of all of it. And so I didn't create that situation, in that I didn't physically go out and do anything to my sons. I just pursued the path that of least resistance within myself, even though everybody else around me would have told me it was wrong. And then what they were telling me to do was give up. And what are you going to do with your life? And I attempted to go to university several times, and it didn't work because I had so much on my plate with my sons, I couldn't study. But when my sons were older, I did. And I had two more children, and after the second one was born, he was in hospital three times until he was 6 months old. And then once we got over that hump, I studied and I got a diploma in nutrition. And then I studied again and I got a diploma in life coaching. And by the time he was two, I had two diplomas under my belt. Before that, it had taken me 10 years to get any qualifications. And I got two certifications in that time. In Australia, Cert 4 is the highest certification you can get before you get a diploma. And I got two. And I became a Justice of the Peace. So I got three major qualifications, the low diploma. And they took me a long time to achieve because I had so much going on in the background. But I persisted. And now I feel like I'm at a launching off point in my life. The boys are now in their 20s. They're lovely people. We've got them to a point where they're ready to really embrace their lives, and they're doing so beautifully, and the other children are growing up lovely. And that's persistence. I wouldn't say that I'm an amazing person. I'm not saying it because look at me. I'm saying it because I pushed through, I waded through a lot of mud. And that reminds me, when I got together with the boy's father, I had a major dream. And the dream was a lot of people saying goodbye to me and then me walking through a lake of mud. and then coming out the other end and having to wash it off. And that was what I did for 20 years. Every day, I walked through that lake of mud. And it was hard. So if you're going through something in your life, one step in front of the other, that's persistence. And you do get to the other side. You will be older, but you will be wiser when you get there. What do you think, David?
Well, I want to first of all thank you for your personal sharing. It was very intimate. I think that that kind of sharing really touches people. And I think you've inspired a lot of hope in people. And despite what you said, I think you are an amazing person. You know, I could relate to some of your experience, at least the depression stuff. It seems to me at some level, and I know this is not not what was intended for me, but it seems to me that I shouldn't be here. I have always believed in the light, but at points along the life's pathway, I have not been able to see the light, and I tried to end my life 2 times, and that was over a half lifetime ago, and I'm very grateful to be here. And I know the reason I'm here is because I haven't accomplished my purpose yet. And I believe that's the case for all of us, that we're here to achieve a purpose. And sadly, some people never quite get there because they don't persist, because they lose the light. And that doesn't have to happen. It really doesn't have to happen. It is just an amazing thing to have life, to follow a pathway, to recognize and realize your dreams. And it took me a long time to realize a dream. And for me, the dream is writing. And along the way, I had originally wanted to be an actor, and that didn't happen. Then I tried a career in the business field, and I was very successful at that and was making a lot of money, but it didn't fulfill me. And I also had a cataclysmic depression that ended that career. And then I went into social work, which was enriching, but it was extremely stressful. And it did not really utilize my full creative potential. So when I left social work suddenly, because I had some illness at the time, I started writing my memoirs. And it was like putting the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle together. And I had had a very fractured life that included depression and addiction and other things that were not so pleasant, but a lot of wonderful things too. And so I put those pieces together and came up with my memoirs, which I've revised a couple of times. And when I stopped writing the memoirs, I thought, I want to keep writing. What am I going to do? And I remembered these characters, these nutty characters, zany characters that I developed to entertain a colleague of mine when I'd been a social worker. And she just loved it when I would call up and leave these outrageous voicemails doing impersonations of these characters. And I thought to myself, I bet I could write a book about that. Well, I've written 22 books, and it's been persistence that has brought me to my today, that's given me the opportunity and the realization of having written 22 books in the series. And I've written other books too, two of which are published. But, you know, I think that persistence is something that if you apply yourself and use patience along the way to recognize that things are not going to happen overnight. And Kat, you talked about putting one foot in front of the other. I believe that's so true, but what I've also learned is that sometimes it's 2 steps forward, 1 step back, but the point is that we're always moving in a positive direction if we persist, and so that's what I have to share for today. I don't have anything else, and David, I'd like to turn it over to you if you would like to share.
Hey, I'm back. Hey, Kat.
Hey.
Okay, so yeah, so as sometimes I have to look at things as a tarot card reader, and I'll give you just a quick example. So let's say somebody comes to me and they say, how come I don't have patience? What is it that I'm doing that's not allowing me to have more patience or more persistence or, you know, stuff like that? So sometimes you can look at it that way if you're trying to I'm just talking to, like, you know, anybody, like you guys and whoever's listening, right? So, and I found that's helped me the most. Okay, so that's one. But I think what's important, too, is you got to look at it this way. What would happen if you didn't have patience and persistence? You wouldn't have anything. There wouldn't be no space shuttle. The man would have never walked on the moon. You probably wouldn't have owned your first home or car. So, you know, you can always flip it around and kind of see some splotches there. But I know that for me, whenever I try to do something, that this is just for me. It's always been kind of relatively easy for me anyway, that let's say if I want to accomplish something in a year, then what I do is I just take little steps towards that along the way. You know, sometimes it might be items I have to get or gather to make it happen, or some extra money or, you know, whatever it might be. But you need to get momentum, okay? And you can't get momentum if you're not persistent. You know, you can't go to the gym and like a New Year's resolution, right? So, you know, okay, you made a decision to go to the gym and lose weight and stuff, but, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen. It didn't take you, you have to realize it didn't take you a week to get there or a month to get to where you're at. So a lot of the time it's, again, it comes down to patience. This is having patience within ourselves, right? And sometimes we can tell that by the example I gave, but you have to get momentum. And if you don't have persistence, there's no way that opportunities can unfold themselves for you. Okay, you know, like you think about starting up a business and then you pack it up 2 months later. And like Dave said, you know, it doesn't happen fast. No, actually, I've always found out that it normally takes about twice as long than I would expect it to happen. It seems to have worked out that way for me throughout my life. But so the momentum. So I'm talking a little bit more about the spiritual side of it. Can I do that, Dave? Or?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so, yeah, and it takes trust. I think persistence also takes trust, and it takes trust in yourself, because the fact is that I know I spent a lot of time putting trust in others, and I think Kat mentioned this too in a couple of ways, that sometimes if you always rely on them, you can have the best intentions and you can have patience and you can be persistent, but you can't let people get in your way, you know, because sometimes they're fine just hanging back and not moving forward and not wanting to advance and stuff like that. So when I say spiritually, you know, this is a lot of times I've had to leave a lot of friends behind because I don't know if I just suddenly didn't get them or they didn't get me, but I know that I was being honest with myself and I knew where I wanted to get. Okay. So you have to have a goal. I mean, you do have to have a goal. And again, you have to have this kind of prize at the end of the road. But I know things started taking off for me once I built up enough momentum. So meaning, it's like in politics. If you want to get something across once, you got to say it like four times. That's what they say. And that's a little bit like persistence. And I think a lot of people forget that. Let's say if you're working towards a goal over a two-year period, like I want to be a better tarot card reader, okay? So along with that persistence, you know, there are other elements, you know. Sometimes it takes courage. You have to confront people. Sometimes you have to confront. I've done tarot card readings, and it looked like I was looking at my exact life. And it forces you to look at yourself. And sometimes that can be scary. So you can also find yourself in situations that will help you to be persistent and to move forward. But, you know, that takes willingness and things like that. So, but I do know one thing to be a fact. Is that if you, at least for me in my entire life, is that if you're not persistent, you just can't get enough momentum up to make it really happen. And that's what I think. And also one other thing is I think of the Olympics, you know, the Olympics. I mean, they go there to set world records. That's the purpose of the Olympics. And through patience and persistence, I mean, you couldn't come up with a better example. So that's why I like watching the Olympics. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing for me. You know, you might have to get a vision board or do whatever it takes. But I know for me, I used to go down to the shrine in my town here, and I would say the rosary, and I would this would take patience and persistence because I did this over months because I was a mess. I mean, I was a mess for a while, and I would pray to Joan of Arc. So I would say the rosary, and then I would go and pray to Joan of Arc for courage, and that really helped to get me through a lot of situations. And I kind of knew that with persistence and patience, I was pretty sure it would work, and it did. It did. It worked out really well for me. But again, at the time when it's happening to somebody, it's hard to see the full value of it because you're right in the middle of it. And sometimes it can seem as though what you're doing could be fruitless. But I just don't believe that. You know, I believe that if you're doing something, it might be that one person that you walked into his store a year ago because you were trying to sell your item. He remembers you. You know, whatever it is, your services. So the energy kind of still stays out there. And I believe at the end, when you get the momentum going, that it allows it to kind of all help form itself together into a bigger picture, a.k.a., you know, things work out, right? So, and that's kind of what tarot card reader does too. You know what I'm saying? So I've seen those types of situations over and over. And it just seemed to be the ones that gave up on their marriage too quick or gave up on that dream of owning a home, you know, over something stupid, literally, really, like, dumb, you know. And so, yeah, it gets pretty complicated, but for the last thing, I think they're synonymous. And that's why I was so attracted to the conversation tonight, because they're the same things. And again, think, what would you have if you didn't have patience and persistence? So that's my bit. That's what I think, guys.
I just wanted to make one comment, David. You talked about things getting complicated at times, but you've really boiled it down to a nutshell, and you've kept it very simple. And to me, that's what spirituality is about. It's about simple truths. And I thank you for your sharing. Kat, is there anything else you'd briefly like to share on the topic?
I liked what David said about momentum, and I think that if there's a listener out there who's sitting there and they're getting frustrated and they're saying, I've done everything, I've been patient, I've been persistent, keep going, build the momentum. And it reminds me of a story. I won't go into it because we don't have time, but it's Malvipa, who's a famous sage from Tibet. And I was listening to Sadhguru talk about him and his story. And he, very briefly, his father passed away. He was born to a wealthy family. When his father passed away, his uncle and aunt took over the house and the belongings and made his mother and sister and himself slaves. And so when he was old enough, he went away and he learnt Tibetan occultism, and he came back and he brought down hail over the uncle and the township, and about 86 people passed on. And then he became cast out of his community, and he went and he's looking for why all of this had happened, and he found a guru to initiate him, and the guru kept saying no and giving him tasks to do, and he was not patient enough, and he would try and find sneaky ways to get initiated when the guru had his eyes closed and they were in meditation, and the guru kept finding out, and so he kept punishing him. And Milrupa was very, very old, and he said, why haven't you given me the initiation? And he said, because you were persistent, but you were not patient enough, and you kept trying to find sneaky ways. If you had not being sneaky. If you had just done what listened to me in the first place and not pushed your own agenda, you would have found that I'd initiated you when you were a young man. But once Moripa was initiated, he has finally got to that point of great knowledge, and he surpassed his guru, and his guru became his disciple. That's the story that I'd listened to. And it's a great story in that listen to what is being told to you about the process, whether it's internally you know or externally someone is telling you the process. Listen to what is being told to you about the process. Piece it out as you would in year four comprehension class. Look at all the key points, piece it out, and then say, okay, I have to do this and this and this before I can get to my goal. Don't try and jump the gun and shove some other idea in there first. Because where Milarepa went wrong was when he first went to see his guru said, you can, because he'd gone and destroyed a whole village, he said, you can either sit with me and get enlightenment, but I will not give you food and shelter, or you can have food and shelter here and seek enlightenment elsewhere. So instead of listening to that, he went and he begged, and he got a stack of food. He got bags and bags of it. And when he brought it back, he dropped it down. It made a big thud, and it shook the house. And the guru came out and said, what are you doing? You're shaking my house. Go away. You're going to attack us as well. And he said, no, I just dropped the food. Here's the food, now give me enlightenment. And the guru said, no, that wasn't what I said. I said you could live here and get enlightenment elsewhere, or you could live elsewhere and get an enlightenment here. Now go and work. And Moripa had to keep going and working and kept going sneaky ways, or trying to jump the gun, and he never got what he wanted until he backed off and he listened to the process. So that would be my final message, is listen to the process. There is how you're going to get it. Be patient. Do the work you're meant to do. Hold off. And then when the time is right, strike while the iron's hot. But not while the iron is cool, is warming up. And not when the iron is too hot and it's going to cause problems. When it's hot, strike. And then be persistent with it. And you can change your life. Thanks, David. And thanks, David.
Thank you, Kat. Yeah. Thanks for sharing the story and your wisdom. And, David, the only thing that I wanted to add, I've got a picture. It is a picture, but more importantly, it's what it says on it, and that is don't give up. And so that's the only thing that I wanted to add. And I would like to invite listeners to avail themselves of Kat's or David's services. They both are brilliant in what they do. David does tarot readings, and his website is dace53.com, and that's dace53.com. And Kat can be found at katedwardsclairvoyant.com. Kat is spelled C-A-T. Edwards is spelled just like it sounds. And do either of you want to say anything about your services before we go to meditation? David?
Just go to my website. I do it myself. It's not done professionally. But I do angel card readings, oracle card readings, tarot card readings. I do crystal ball readings. I do coffee readings. But I do coffee readings, Turkish coffee readings, and crystal ball readings on a very limited basis because I really, really want to make sure the person's serious. Dace53.com. I got some awesome free downloadable PDF files there on my angel page. And go and check it out. No, that's it. Thank you, Dave. Thanks, Kat.
Perfect. Thank you, Dave. Kat, how about you?
Yeah, so I specialize in assisting people with their life and business direction a lot, and that's mainly because of the way that people have come to me seeking life direction advice, and I bring to the table my clairvoyant and mediumship abilities, but also my education, my life coaching, And I help you to unpack what's going on in your life and find the pathway forward so that you understand and that you can make your best step. So you can have a one-hour spiritual guidance session with me, or you can buy a package of life coaching sessions. But you just go to my website, katedwardsclairvoyant.com, Kat spelt with a C, or friend me on Facebook at Kat Edwards, and I'm also at Kat Edwards Life Coach and Spiritual Professional on Facebook. I'd love to catch up with you there.
Perfect. Well, Kat has agreed to honor us with a meditation tonight, and so I'm going to turn it back to her.
And get comfortable in your chair or wherever you are and take three long, deep breaths. And be aware of the sound of your breath. Be aware of the sound as it comes in and it goes out. And let's just focus on the breath for a while as it comes in. It goes out. Now this time when we breathe in, we're going to hold it. So we're going to breathe in for one, two, three. Hold for one, two, three. And out for one, two, three. Let's go. Just keep breathing normally now, but be aware of the rhythm of your breath. Be aware that your breath is your spirit. And as you breathe, you're breathing in your life. And as you exhale, you're breathing out that which does not serve your life. And when you hold your spirit. So breathe in your life. Hold your spirit. And breathe out that which does not serve. And feel the sense of security in your breath. And know it's there. Your life is there. Every moment. Your life is there. Your breath. Your spirit. And in your breath is your ability to access all you know. When you hold, you can find the truth. And when you release, you can release that which is not the truth. And when you breathe in, you can breathe in more of the truth. Breathe in the truth. Breathe in your spirit. Breathe in your life. Now bring your mind to something you've achieved. Could be just getting dressed. Doesn't have to be anything big. Focus on the feeling of being in that achievement. And breathe in your life. Breathe in your knowledge. Breathe in your truth. And feel the energy in your heart as you breathe. Rest your mind in your heart now. focus on a plant and an animal or a human that you love, and breathe in your life, your spirit, and your truth. I think with your heart and let your mind guide you, and know you can be in your truth, and your life, and your spirit, and your light every moment, because every moment you breathe. And when you're ready, open your eyes.
Thank you, Kat.
Breath is very powerful. When we learn Kriya Yoga, we learn about the breath, and I would encourage everyone to look it up and learn about it.
That's a beautiful suggestion. I would just like to welcome anybody who is listening tonight and to encourage you to call in to our show. Everybody is welcome. You can share or you don't have to share. That is entirely up to you. But we do welcome your contribution either as a listener or as a participant. And I'd like to thank Kat for being part of the panel and David for joining us tonight. And I hope you'll join us again.
It was fun. I enjoyed being here.
Thanks, everybody.
I enjoyed the company. Thanks to both of you.
Okay. Well, to everybody else, I wish you a good night or good morning, and God bless.